Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. Galatians 6, beginning at verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of our series looking at the book of Galatians, and I'm slightly sad about that because I've loved looking at the book of Galatians. For me, it's been personally very helpful to remember the gospel of grace and to remember that we are free as a result of that gospel. This letter to the Galatians was dictated by the Apostle Paul to a scribe who wrote it down. But here at the end of the book, in verses 11 to 18, he picks up the pen himself. And he writes these last words himself. He says that in verse 11. He says, see what big letters I'm writing. That might be a reference to the fact that his letters were quite big because his eyesight was quite poor. We looked at that a few weeks ago. But it might also be because what he's talking about here is really important. And he wants people to really get and know what he's talking about. You see, he wants to leave us with something that he thinks is crucial. And what is this thing that he wants us to leave us with? At the end of this long letter, after everything that he said, what is the number one thing that he wants us to be left with? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. He says that in verse 14. He says, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. That verse is one of the greatest verses in the whole of the Bible. And that verse tells us, that this verse which Paul leaves us with, tells us what's involved in becoming a Christian. In fact, it tells us what's involved in continuing as a Christian, because the way you continue as a Christian is the way that you began as a Christian. See, this verse tells us three crucial things that we need to get if we are to become a Christian, if we're to grow as a Christian. See, you need to understand the importance of the cross. You need to feel the offense of the cross. And you need to boast in the glory of the cross. If you want to become a Christian, if you want to grow as a Christian, you need to understand the importance of the cross, you need to feel the offense of the cross, and you need to boast in the glory of the cross. So first of all, we need to understand the importance of the cross. Paul says, but far be it for me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words, far be it, are really emphatic. He's saying, may I never, ever, ever boast in anything else He's horrified at the thought that he could boast in anything apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. He's horrified at the thought that he could boast in anything apart from what happened 2,000 years ago. When his Savior, Jesus Christ, died on that wooden Roman cross. The worst sort of execution that the worst sort of criminal could ever experience under Roman rule. And he says, let me never boast in anything except from that. Anything except from that cross on which Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, died. See, that's what he believed. That's what was at the center of his life. That's what he thought was at the center of the world, the center of the universe, the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. In the book of Corinthians, he says, this is what we preach. We preach Christ and him crucified. That's what we've got etched on our pulpit, because that's what we preach at St. Clement's. In fact, when he went to Corinth, he didn't just preach about Christ and him crucified. He says, I sought to know nothing amongst you except Christ and him crucified. That's how important he thinks the cross is. He thinks it's the one crucial thing in life, the cross of Jesus Christ. Now that tells us a number of things. That tells us, what we see here first of all is, and we need to remember this, that what we believe is more important than how we live. What you believe is far more important than how you live. Because what you believe affects how you live. You know, a number of people have asked me recently, what do you preach about on Sundays at church? Do you talk about politics or current affairs or the climate or something cultural? And I say, no, I don't preach about those things. I don't preach about politics. I don't preach about the Conservative Party. I don't preach about climate change. I don't preach about Taylor Swift. I say to them, when I'm asked, I preach the Bible, section by section. Because as Christians, we need to know what we believe, what the Christianity is all about. We need to know that. We need to believe that. Because what we believe affects how we live. If you don't believe the right thing, then you won't live the right way. If you believe something that's wrong, something that's false, you'll live the wrong way in your life. See, that's what was happening in Galatia. That's why Paul writes this letter in the first place, because false teachers had come into the church in Galatia, modern-day Turkey, and were teaching a false gospel. They were saying that the way to be saved, the way to be right with God, wasn't just by believing in Jesus, but you also needed to do certain things. You needed to obey certain rules. You needed to be circumcised and to keep the food laws of the Old Testament. You needed to do those things as well as believe in Jesus. And what was the result of that false teaching? That teaching that said you need to be saved by what you do. The result of it was that some people were looking down on others in the church and thinking of themselves as better. And other people were looking up at other people in the church and thinking, well, they're far better than me, and becoming envious. What was happening in the church was there was dissension, disunity. There was falling out, there was envy, there was jealousy, there was pride, there was bitterness, there was all these things in the church. Why were they living wrong? Because they believed the false gospel. See, what you believe affects how you live. And so what you believe is of utmost importance. And Paul says, what you believe about the cross is the most important thing in life. Because he says, this is the center of life. This is the center of the Christian faith. See, the center of the Christian faith is not what Jesus taught. It's not the Sermon on the Mount. The center of the Christian faith is what Jesus did. See, the Christian faith is not about what Jesus came to say and what Jesus came to teach. It's what Jesus came to do. Dying on a cross for a broken world. You see, Jesus says that himself. He says, this is why I've come. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Paul says, that's it. That's what it's all about. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, let me tell you, in this wonderful chapter on the resurrection, he begins by saying, I'm going to talk to you about what is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the central thing. That's the central thing in church life. The symbol of Christianity is the cross. And at the center of every church is the cross. You know, we at St. Clement's are part of the Church of England, and there's 200 or so Church of England churches in Manchester, and you go to one church and it looks and feels very different than another, and you go to another church and it teaches something which seems to be very different than another church. But actually, in all those churches, what is the center of the service? It's communion. It's the Lord's Supper. And what's the Lord's Supper all about? The bread being broken and the wine being poured out. It's about the cross of Jesus Christ, his body being broken, his blood being poured out. That is the center of the Christian faith. That is the center of the Christian church. And so if you're here this morning and this is your first time, it's wonderful to see you. But if you want to investigate Christianity, you need to understand the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you want to grow as a Christian, then you need to grow in your understanding of the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're sitting on the fence and you're not sure whether to become a Christian or not, then you need to figure out and decide what you believe about the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the cross of Jesus Christ is all important. See, the first thing we need to know is we need to understand the importance of the cross. But there's a second thing we need to know, which Paul tells us here. To become a Christian or to grow as a Christian, you need to feel the offense of the cross. Paul says, far be it from me to boast, may I never boast except in the cross. I'm going to boast only in the cross. Why does he say that? Why does he tell us what he's boasting in? Because he's contrasting himself with these false teachers and what they're boasting in. You see, he says, I boast in the cross, and that contrasts with the false teachers because they're boasting in their own efforts. They're boasting in the flesh. They're boasting in circumcision. You see, they were going into the church saying, you need to be circumcised. You need to keep these rules. You need to follow these rituals. And they were boasting about those things and boasting in the people when they did those things. Why were they doing that? What was their motivation? Well, Paul tells us in verse 12, in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Paul says, you see, if you believe in the cross of Jesus Christ, if you preach the cross of Jesus Christ, then you will be persecuted. Paul said that in chapter 5, in verse 12. He said, I'm being persecuted for preaching this gospel of grace and the cross of Jesus Christ because it's an offense. It's an offense to people, is the cross. You know, if as a Christian you talk about politics, or you talk about religion, or you talk about laws and rules, or you talk about loving God, or loving your neighbor as yourself, if you talk about those things, people are happy with you. They might disagree with you on one or two things, but people are happy with you when you talk about those sorts of things. But as soon as you start talking about the cross, people get offended. People don't like hearing about the cross. People say this is primitive. Talking about sacrifice and blood and execution, you don't talk about those sorts of things. You don't focus on those sorts of things. This is kind of pagan religion where they have to follow rituals and sacrifice to their gods. This isn't Christianity. This is immoral. This is wrong. It's offensive. In fact, everybody finds this offensive. Religious people find this offensive. And non-religious people find this offensive. You see, it offends religious people because it says it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter what rituals you've performed. It doesn't matter what prayers you've prayed. None of that makes any difference to your standing with God. And that's offensive. It's offensive to say that there's nothing that you can do, there's nothing that you have ever done that can make you acceptable to God. It's offensive to say that we stand before God as sinful people. No matter how good a life you've lived, no matter how charitable you've been, no matter how kind you've been to other people, no matter how successful you are, how good you are, it doesn't make any difference to your standing with God. See, it's offensive. You see, if you're someone who thinks that salvation is about being good, and that you get to heaven by the way you perform, and each performance is like the rung on a ladder which you climb in order to get to heaven. You do these prayers and you perform these good acts, and each time you're getting closer and closer up to heaven. If that's your view of salvation, then the cross of Jesus Christ knocks that ladder down, smashes that way of salvation, because he says you can't do that. There's nothing that any of us can do to get ourselves right with God. And that's offensive. Because he says it doesn't matter whether you are a murderer or a paedophile in Strange Ways prison, or if you are a very good, a religious, upstanding, a kind and generous person, you are all in the same boat. Paul says in Romans 3, there is no distinction because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's offensive to religious people. But the cross is also offensive to non-religious people, because the cross says that the only way to God is through the death of Jesus Christ. And that feels so intolerant. It feels so exclusive. There's one way of salvation. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And that just feels too tight. It feels too exclusive. I remember before I became a Christian, I had a conversation with a woman, and she had become quite keen as a Christian. And I remember talking to her about the Christian faith. And in the course of the conversation, she said, well, you know, you need to believe in Jesus. And you need to believe that he died on the cross for you. And that's the only way to heaven. And I said, what are you talking about? You know, what about people who are good? Don't they get to heaven? What about people of other religions? Don't they get to heaven? This is far too exclusive, intolerant. We can't be having any of this kind of nonsense. I was offended by the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, I couldn't see the fact that actually the cross of Jesus Christ is the most inclusive worldview that there is. Because the cross of Jesus Christ means that anyone can come to God. You don't have to be wise and clever and intelligent to come to God. You can be a complete idiot and come to God. It means you don't have to be good and have lived a good life in order to come to God. You can be a really bad person who's messed up their life completely, and you can come to God. It's very inclusive, is the cross of Jesus Christ, but it appears so exclusive. In fact, actually, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus, in Jesus' economy, he says, actually, being wise and being good is not only not ultimately the way to get to God, but many who are wise and good don't get to God. In Matthew 11, he prays to God and he says, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things, hidden the gospel from the wise and understanding, and you've revealed them to little children. See, in Jesus' economy, religious elite are out and little children are in. The wise are out and fools are in. The good are out and the bad are in. The rich are out and the poor are in. The righteous are out and sinners are in. The proud are out and the humble are in. That's Jesus' economy. You see, the cross turns the world on its head. It turns the way of thinking about the world on its head. Because it undermines every effort of human beings to try to save ourselves, to try to justify ourselves, to try and prove ourselves to ourselves, to try and prove ourselves to other people, to try and prove ourselves to God as well. And that's why the cross is so offensive. Let me ask you, have you been offended by the cross? Let me ask you, are you offended by the cross? I really hope there's someone here this morning who is offended by the cross, because the way that you can tell if the cross has been preached is if people are offended by it. And if no one's offended by the cross, then I've obviously not done a very good job, and therefore I need to start all over again. But it's also good news. Because if you are offended by the cross, you're on your way to becoming a Christian. You see, you need to be offended by the cross. You need to let the cross offend you and challenge you before you can become a Christian. You need to let it challenge all the ways you try and save yourself and rely upon yourself. You need to, those things need to be undermined, and it's the cross that undermines those things. And if you are a Christian, you should feel offended at times by the cross, because as Christians, we are so tempted so often to go back and rely upon what we do to make ourselves right with God. We need to feel the offense of the cross if we're to become a Christian, or if we're to grow as a Christian. But finally, we need to boast in the glory of the cross. Paul says, I boast only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to boast in anything else except the cross of Jesus Christ and in the cross alone. See, it's not just enough to understand the importance of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not even enough to feel the offense of the cross of Jesus Christ. To be a Christian, you need to boast in the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. And why does Paul boast in the cross of Jesus Christ? Why does he say that? Because these false teachers were boasting in circumcision. They were boasting in their own efforts. And Paul says, I'm not going to boast in those things, because I'm going to boast in Jesus Christ and in him alone. So what does it mean to boast? Well, boasting is what you say to yourself about yourself. Boasting isn't just necessarily something that you say to other people. You might say it to other people, but boasting ultimately is what you say to yourself about yourself. It's what you say to yourself deep in your heart about yourself, what you say your value is, what you say your significance is, what you say your identity is, what you say your worth and your honor and your glory are. That's what it is to boast. And everybody boasts. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody boasts about something, because everybody says something to themselves about what gives them value and meaning and significance. How can you tell what that is? Well, sometimes when you're not thinking about anything and your mind's blank, your mind goes there. And it's what you think about at that moment. But I think especially when life is difficult and life is tougher, and you've had a tough day, or you're struggling through a tough situation in your life, it's where your mind goes then. It's what you say to yourself then. It's at those moments when you say, life is really hard, life is a real struggle, but it's okay because I have got this partner. Or I've got this wonderful family. Or I've got that great job. Or I have that money in the bank. Or I did this earlier in my life and I was successful. And that's where I get my value from. Or I'm going to do this in my life and I'm going to be successful. And that's where I get my value from. You see, it's what you say to yourself about yourself. That's what it means to boast. And so what's it mean to boast in the cross? Well, it means to say to yourself in your heart, to say to yourself about yourself, my value is in the cross of Jesus Christ. My worth is in the cross of Jesus Christ. My honor, my glory is in the cross of Jesus Christ. That instrument of torture, that instrument of execution, worse than the electric chair, worse than the hangman's noose, that on which my Savior Jesus Christ died, that is my glory. That is my value. That's my honor. That is where I get my worth from. And not from anything else. So how do you do that? How do you say that to yourself? How do you boast in the glory of the cross? Well, you need to do four things. First of all, you need to see the wonder of the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. You know, a number of you recently have been surveying the night sky for the northern lights, and they are beautiful and wonderful. Well, you need to do that with the cross of Jesus Christ. You need to survey the cross. You need to look at the cross and see the cross and gaze in wonder at the cross. And what is it about the cross that's so wonderful, that is so amazing? It's that the Prince of Glory died on the cross. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Glory. Jesus Christ, the one who had all glory and honor and majesty and splendor in heaven, left the glory of heaven and came to earth. He left his Father's throne in glory and came to earth and lived a life of poverty, lived a life of nothingness, and then died on a cross. The Prince of Glory in the greatest shame. From the greatest place of honor to the greatest shame and wretchedness. See, this is amazing. The Prince of Glory, the Prince of Life, dies. The one who created all things is decreated. The author of life, forsaken by God on the cross. If you're going to boast in the cross, you need to see the wonder of it. But you need to see the sacrifice of it. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, saving the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. You need to see the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. His death on the cross. See, what was he doing on the cross? He was dying. What sort of death was he dying? It wasn't just the fact that he was dying as an example for us to follow. He was dying as a substitute. He was dying in the place of sinful people like you and me, taking upon himself the sins of the world, bearing God's wrath and judgment for those things and being punished by God in our place. See, that's what he was doing on the cross. He was dying as the Savior of the world. He was dying in order to save the world. Crucified, broken for a broken world. You also need to see the love of the cross. See from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? See, you need to see the love of God at the cross of Jesus Christ. In the wounds of Jesus Christ, you need to see the love of God. In that crown of thorns, you need to see the love of God. In the blood that was covering his body, you need to see the love of God. In the spear mark in his side, you need to see the love of God. And it's God's love for you that you need to see. Yes, we believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him should not die but have eternal life. Yes, we believe that, and you need to believe that. But you need to believe more than that. You need to believe that God so loved you. That at the cross, Jesus Christ was dying for you. That's why he went to the cross. He went to the cross because he loves you. He didn't want you to be lost. He wanted to bring you home to his Father. He didn't want you to die and to perish. He wanted you to have eternal life. He didn't want you to be forsaken, but you to be accepted and approved and loved by God. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. He went to the cross out of love for you. You need to see his love for you. You need to see God's love for you in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was willing to go to the cross. He died in your place because he loves you. But finally, we need to see the power of the cross. Paul says, this cross of Jesus Christ, I boast in it. And through this cross of Jesus Christ, the world is crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world. See, you need to see that. You need to see the power of the cross. The power of the cross by which you are crucified to the world. And the world is crucified to you. You see, how does that happen? How do you see that? By seeing that your identity, your value, your worth, and your significance is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. By seeing that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you died in him. And by faith in him, as you trust in him now, his righteousness, his perfect life, and his death for you is counted to you so that God now looks at you as approved, as righteous, as holy, as acceptable in his sight. Not because you've done everything, but because you're putting your trust in Jesus Christ and his cross. And because God looks at you like that, you can know that you are valued and loved by the author of the universe. In fact, not only are you valued and loved and approved by him, but you are acceptable to him. And not only are you acceptable to him, but even more wonderfully, you've been adopted by him into his family. And you've got the same status in his family as Jesus Christ himself. God is your father. You're his child. He loves you and has accepted you and has adopted you as his child in his family. And when you see that, when you know that, when you accept that, when you say that to yourself in your heart, then you can look at the world and you look it right in the eye and you say, I'm dead to you. I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to all the claims of the world. Sex has no claim on me. Money has no claim on me. Power has no claim on me. The things that people live for have no claim on me. Not because they're awful things. Those are good gifts that God has given. But they don't control us anymore. When you become a Christian, those things don't control you. They don't have a claim on you because the cross of Jesus Christ has broken the power that they held in your life. You're dead to those things. You're dead to the world. You can go and enjoy those things, yes, but not be controlled by them. You're dead to anger. It's got no claim on you. You're dead to guilt. It's got no claim on you. You're dead to despair. It's got no claim on you. You're dead to lust. It's got no claim on you. You're dead to pride. It's got no claim on you. None of those things have got any claim on you anymore. You're free in Jesus Christ. You're free in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ does. It frees you from being controlled by all those things, and it frees you to live for Jesus Christ and for him alone. So that you can boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. So you can live in light of the cross of Jesus Christ. So you can live a life loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And loving your neighbor as yourself. Empowered and motivated by the cross of Jesus Christ. See, that's where freedom's found. See, if you know that Jesus Christ is God and that he died in your place, he died for you, then you can go and live for him. You can go and say in your heart and even say in your life and even sing about it, were the whole realm of nature mine? That were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let me pray. Gracious Father, help us to boast only in the cross of Jesus Christ. Help us to see that, have that cross. The love of God for broken and sinful people. Help us to see at the cross the love of God for us, for me, for a broken and sinful man. Help us to see that love. Help us to be moved by that love. That we might live for Jesus Christ. That we might find our worth, our significance, our value in Jesus Christ, who lived and died for us. Help us to do this week, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.